You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the book of Joshua chapter 7 for a moment. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we are thankful for your presence, for your word, for your grace and mercy. God, we thank you very much. So deal with us according to your wonderful word and work on Calvary's cross. And we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study, remember now, as we study, try to study, we remember God, in whose presence we are, has no beginning and no end. So God, here we are, and before anything ever was, even the angels, you is. Now, and we have your word, and you, right now, since there is no time to you, God, you are looking at Genesis 1:1, creation. You're looking at Revelation 22, the end of thy word. Right now, you're looking at us. Wow. Here we are looking, God, and we have your word. So when we study your word, we understand you started in Genesis 1:1. We understand you ended your word in Revelation chapter 22. So God, here we are. So we expect to understand you by understanding Genesis to Revelation. So when we study a thought and we try to connect the thought back here and all the way to here, so that you're weaving a rug, as it were, and you take the threads from Genesis and you weave them to Revelation, back and forth, and you become very familiar with God. He's the same, and his word, and his work. We know how he works, whether it be with Abraham, whether it be with Isaiah, whether it be with Paul. We know about you, God. We know how you work. We understand how you do things and why you do them. And we understand. So I'm trying to help you understand for myself. To understand, we're trying to, as we do it. So we use a lot of scripture, I think, and we follow it. And you need to understand why I do it. I want you to understand the threads so that you learn, you absorb God's thinking, Genesis to Revelation. You absorb how God acts, how he does things and doesn't do things, and you're learning. You're having a healthy, not just one little chapter and you got that, And we never do this and we never do that, and you never know it. You have no way to connect in your mind Ezekiel with Daniel, with the Apostle Paul. You need to connect it all together. You want to understand God? That's what we try to do. I'm just trying to help you understand, because here we are going to go on a little exercise in understanding what God did in the Valley of Achor, and why he did it, and how it relates. Here's the Valley of Achor way back here with Joshua. Here we are, God, you're back here, and we're going to go way over here to tie it together, because you did it. You did it, so we're trying to understand it and keep it together. So then it becomes a big picture. The puzzle, the pieces of zillions of pieces keep coming together. And we have a picture, a bigger and bigger complete picture of God, how He thinks, how He does things. Am I making sense to you? That's what we do. Because there are a lot of people that won't do what we try to do. They do what they do, which is very good. Thank God for it. But I'm never going to get that big picture. So that's what we're going to try to do again. That's a long way around. I hope you try to think through what I try to fumble out before you. Joshua chapter 7. And in the process, Achan and his everyone connected, burned, stone burned and buried, and a big pile of stones. It had to be a big pile of stones. And in verse 26, chapter 7, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now, and so here they are going to come and go. They're going to go from here up Gilgal, etc. They're going to go back and attack Ai and recommence what they were doing and start over again. God made it possible. They exercised judgment. The judgment satisfied God. The judgment was understood by the whole nation. The one family, the whole went, it all went, so that everyone saw it. Not everyone threw stones, obviously, as we shared, but they all witnessed it, no question. Then the big, it is, and we all probably helped putting stones on that big pile to cover them, cover the everything, animals and everything, to cover the whole thing. We did that. So now, are we, God, you're satisfied? I am. And now continue the journey. And now we share together about propitiation, how God is satisfied with the work of His Son on Calvary's cross. He's satisfied with it. And therefore, He can turn around and say, now you can get saved, and you can continue being saved, and continue in all of my goodwill for your life. Now, having said that little bit, God, here we are, here's the Valley of Achor unto this day. Now we're going to go move through history. Over, if you would please, to Hosea. Hosea and chapter 1. And in Hosea chapter 1, remember now, Hosea is living, he's looking at the 10 tribes in the north, and he's going to see the Assyrian captivity, etc. He's looking at that. He's talking. These people aren't listening. They aren't learning. Hosea chapter 1, and picking up, please, in verse 6, she conceived again. I have to leave some of this out. She conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. So the word Lo, no, and Ruhamah, mercy. No mercy. No pity. None pity. No more pity. And not only that, the other child, picking up, please, in verse 9, then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. So Lo-Ami, no, and Am-Ami, my people. Not my people, not no more mercy, no more pity, no more my people. Now, he's going to send them into captivity. And as you keep reading, God's going to do that, and he's going to do a wonderful thing. In his judgment, he's going to bless Israel, but he has to exercise judgment to awaken the heart of the people, the nation, at which he does. Now, over in chapter 2, he's going to go and exercise his mercy and grace. And in doing so, and they're going to judge them, And in verse 12, I will destroy her vines, her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast of the field shall eat them. In other words, the animals, it's going to be so difficult for you guys to survive. The animals are going to be catching you and eating you. It's not going to be that bad. Now, in the light of that, verse 13, I will visit upon her the days of Baalim, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forget me, saith the Lord. They forgot God. Therefore, I will allure her. I'm going to allure her. I'm going to go and entice her. I'm going to entice her. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to care. I care, said God. She doesn't, but I do. Behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. So I'm going to go and allure her into the wilderness, just like I did in Exodus. Did they want to leave Exodus? Egypt? No. They told Moses they didn't want to leave, but it was time to leave, and God, by way of Moses, led them to the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea, and God introduced himself at Mount Sinai to them. Now, God, are you going to do that? I'm going to do that again. I'm going to allure them. They're going to be all over the place, and I'm going to move them and motivate them back to me. Now, how's that going to be? They didn't want to leave Egypt. That's true, but they did. They don't want to leave all their comforts, but in that day, I am going to gather them wherever they are in the world and bring them back to Jerusalem. I'm going to gather them. I'm going to allure them and bring them back into the wilderness. Now, this time, God, as you do it, this time, the wilderness to be a fruitful, flourishing place, I'm going to go and bring them back there. And I'm going to try to encourage them and help them. And thus, verse 15, and I will give her vineyards from whence, and the door of Anchor, there's your reference, for a door of hope, that's right, hope. Israel, you did the right thing, and therefore you can rightly advance, expect, anticipate victory, go forward. Verse 15, I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Anchor for a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. So I'm going to do all that. Now hang on, hold your finger here, and go back with me to Isaiah 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65, may I pick up, please? God refers to this again. Now, God said, here's the stones, and don't forget, unto this day we remember them. How can you miss them? Big pile of stones. Wow. And thus, God said, be encouraged to what? In this place, judgment was exercised, you honored me, and you went forward as I commanded and instructed you. Now, Isaiah 65, God looking, you're going to look ahead, and verse 9, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Anchor, there you are, a place for the herds to lie down for my people that have sought me. Remember the word Sharon, just think of the over in the Mediterranean Sea, and you're going to go straight over against Israel, coming right down the Mediterranean, and here's the plain of Sharon all along there, animals, and that's what they did. All of that, and and the valley of Achor was a ravine coming down from Gilgal across like this where the stones were. I'm going to make this whole area, Achor, a very fruitful, wonderful place. Back over. Now that's what God's going to do in the future. Hosea chapter 2 and in verse 15. And I will give her vineyards from whence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and will sing there. It's going to be a wonderful thing. I'm going to give her the door. It's an Achor. Did you get the message? Or did you understand what happened in the valley of Achor? It wasn't even understood, the valley of trouble. It wasn't understood. This, where everything went wrong, where everything was made right. You don't understand. But now you've got a valley, it's known, named the Valley of Achor. It's where Achan was stoned and his family and buried. And this is a place of understanding and hope. Now, therefore, God moves to the looking into the future. It's going to be a wonderful location for all the fruitfulness of field and animal life, etc. Now, and the process, and here's Hosea, looking at the 10 tribes about to go into captivity. And what do you say? I will give, God, you're going to encourage her. Are you going to stop the captivity? No. No. I'm going to judge, and my judgment that will make it all possible will take place on Calvary's cross, where I will pay for all of the sin of the world, and I will satisfy myself by way of my Son. He will bring propitiation, satisfaction to me to pay for the sin of the world. And now, so therefore, based on that, I'm going to have a wonderful future for Israel. Now, and so Israel, it is say, we're going to go into captivity. Absolutely. But be of good cheer. God is going to fix it. It's a door of hope. The captivity, you look at it and say, it's all over. No, it's not all over at all. So don't say that. We're going to go in the valley. We lost Jericho. We won Jericho. We'll lose Ai. And we're going to get all beat up by the Philistines and everybody. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's a place of hope. It's a place where you ought to be stimulated, motivated, moved. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, on that day, in that day, verse 16, and it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call Ishi and shall call me no more Belly. In other words, you're going to go and look and you're going to say, my husband, you're going to look to me. You have a unique relationship to me as a nation, and you're going to return and honor me as a nation. You're not going to be an adulteress out there running around with Baal and idols and idolatry. You're going to stop all that. Now, and then you read verse 18, in that day. And I'll just go down to verse 19. I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. Verse 22, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel, that's Israel, and I will sow her, verse 23, unto me in the earth. In other words, I'm going to make a wonderful, wonderful relationship. To sow her unto me in the earth, I will have mercy upon her. Remember, Loha Rahama, no mercy. I will, verse 23. And I will say to them that were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Wonderful God. And without taking time, that is to be quoted, right? What you just read, 23, 22. God quotes that in Romans chapter 9 about what's going to happen to Israel. Because remember, Romans 9, 10, 8, 9, 10, and 11 are all about Israel. And God, because you asked the question, as a Gentile, as a Jew in the church age, what about Israel? God isn't done with Israel. And God is going to do wonderful things with Israel. And he quotes this. God, you're going to bring wonderful hope in the valley of Achor. You're going to learn it. And I'm going to bring you all together out of the wilderness, allure you and entice you to know me in a most unique and wonderful way. Now, having said that, and in God's grace, over if you would please to... we'll move on. Remember now, all of it, Valley of Achor, it's the place of where judgment takes place, restoration of the relationship takes place, satisfaction is found there, recovery is found there, and they're going to go back and win in the Battle of Ai. They're going to attack again, and they're going to keep winning. Now, over if you would please, and it's a valley of hope, 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 hope. Now, God, you aren't through with this valley of Achor. No, not yet. Not yet. I'm going to keep using it. And it's a hope. It's all about hope. So let's go back before that history, back if I can, to back in the days of Abraham, Job, over to Job chapter 8. Job in chapter 8. In Job chapter 8, picking up in thought, and I remember Bildad is going to go and talking to Job and getting him to think about things so that things can't grow, if you look at it. Verse 11, can the rush, that's papyrus that grows in the marsh, grow up without mire, without the moss? Can you get the papyrus, the paper that they made? Can you get that? Without moss? No, you got to have a marsh. Can the flag, that's the reeds, grow without water? No, everything has to have something, the right environment, to work, as we shared at 6 o'clock. Verse 12. Whilst it is yet in his greenness, and not cut down, and withereth before any other herb. So you got to have it. You can't keep it out of water. You can't keep it out of the marsh. Over if you would, verse 14. Whose hope? Verse 13 better. So are the paths in the light of plants, so are the paths of all that forget God. The marsh, the plant needs water. The path that you're on needs God. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the paths of all that forget God and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. So people have all kinds of hope, anticipation, expectations, hope. And verse 14, whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be as a spider web. So verse 15, he shall lean upon his house and it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. We're going to try to keep everything we've got and handle it and have it remain. And it's a hypocrite's hope. Because you bring nothing into the world, and it's certain you bring nothing out. It's a hypocrite's hope. It's a hypocrite's hope that you have. Hypocrite. It's no good. It's no good. Now, that's people think like that. And here's Bildad trying to talk to Job and tell him, which Job understands, that you can't do that. You can't forget God. Job isn't trying to forget God. Over, if you would, to Joel, the book of Joel. Joel and chapter 3. Now, Joel is living in the days of Elisha. There's Elijah, and Elisha follows him. Joel is living in the days of Elisha. Now, so Joel, I'm interested in Joel. And in the process, God, you're going to help Joel to be encouraged. And verse 3, chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. God, you're going to let it all happen. Anchor is a valley of hope. It's a wonderful thing if you learn God exercises his wonderful judgment, his wonderful plan for Israel is for Joshua to take all the land, as it were, in that area for the 12 tribes of Israel. They were to take it. And that was God's will. And God did it. God, what is your will? To have Israel a victor and to operate in the valley of Anchor with great fruitfulness. And that's my hope. That I'm going to do. And I am the hope. God said, I am the hope of the people. I am the strength of the children of Israel. And it's all going to happen. So verse 17. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her any more. No more. It's going to be a wonderful place. And no more are we going to have these kind of problems, because they're going to be all over. So God, what do you want to try to tell the people? Here's Isaiah. Here's the 10 tribes. Here's Joel. Look it up there. And there they are. And they're to be encouraged. It's going to be bad. Like Achan has to be judged. Israel has to be judged. But be of good cheer. If you understand the judgment is absolutely necessary in order to have the relationship, in order to have the satisfaction, in order to have the recovery. Therefore, it must happen, and God has made it possible by way of the cross and by way of his wonderful future work to save Israel from themselves. And now, so God, and he is the hope of the people, the strength of the children of Israel. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. And God, you're going to do that. The Valley of Hope. I'm going to do that. And thus, over if you would, in Ezekiel, and chapter 37. In Ezekiel 37, you would recall, verse 1, remember now, wonderful section, 37, 38, 39. 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley. Oh, these valleys. The valley. Valley, valley, valley. Valley of Anchor. Valleys. And in verse 37, verse 1. The valley which was full of bones. It was full of bones. So Ezekiel, God, you put Ezekiel down in the middle of the valley, and it's full of bones. And verse 2, why? Because they had to be judged. Israel was judged, and it is no more what it should be and could be. But I'm going to do something wonderful, and even though Israel is dead and has no life, as bones. Verse 2. He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry and very dead. And you know that if you pick up a bone and it's very dry, it's very dead. There's no life. The bone produces wonderful stuff for your body, blood and that. Wow. Moist, moist bones, bones. No, it's very dry and very dead. Very dry and very dead. And, verse 3, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel answered, I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That was smart, because when God says something, can this be happen? You slow down before you answer. So you know it can't happen. No, you're learning, aren't you, Ezekiel? You don't answer God. God said, can it happen? Well, from my viewpoint, no, but from your viewpoint, yes. So I'm going to be quiet. And thus God continues. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, etc., 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 etc. So you're going to have, so God, Jeremiah is going to go and exercise in his wonderful vision, understanding, that here's all these bones, and Israel, is there any hope for you? Jeremiah said, I'm not going to tell God how to answer that one. God, you answer it. And God said, I did. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. All those dead, dry bones are going to become alive. Now, but does Israel understand that? No. Verse 9, 37, 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Verse 11. He said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, what were they saying? Our bones are dried dead, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our pots. The 10 tribes see no hope, no help. Ah, that's because you didn't understand 10 tribes. The judgment of the 10 tribes was absolutely necessary. You didn't want to face up to the judgment that God exercised. Joshua, you guys did face up to it, but the 10 tribes in the north are not facing up to their judgment, and they're scattered, except the Assyrians take them. Now, so having said that, our hope is lost. Our hope is lost. On the contrary, you're going to give them life. Be God, if we leave, remember Job chapter 8, Bildad said, if the plant leaves and has no water, it can't flourish. If you leave God out of their life, you can't, if you forget God, to go down the paths of time is not fruitful. You're going to die. It's not going to live. It's not going to produce. If you forget God, what are you saying? Israel, our hope is lost because we have no God. God, you make the difference. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what happened in the Valley of Achor. They honored me, and remember Achan himself? Not one word of criticism about the execution, about the extent of it, about the delay of it. He just yielded to the whole thing. That's what God wanted. And we shared that all together. Now, over if you would please, to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, may I pick up, please? And, going quickly now, verse 9, you have understanding of the first coming of Christ, the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, Matthew 21, riding on the colt, the foal of an ass, the son of an ass. And, so you have that in verse 9. That's his coming into Jerusalem to be crucified. Then you go to verse 10, God's wonderful, wonderful future goes from the first coming to his second coming when Israel is going to be blessed. Wow, blessed. Now, having said that, now you go to verse 11. As for thee, also, by the blood of thy covenant have I sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there's no water. In other words, you've been dispersed. Zechariah, Ezra, Zechariah, Nehemiah, You guys have been able to come back to the land of Jerusalem, even though there's a small number of you, and build the temple and build the city up. It isn't going to go very far, for very long, very good at all, but you have all of that. Prisoners with no water like Joseph. You had no hope. We just read it in Ezekiel. We have no hope. Our bones are all dry. And God said, I hold you. I told you I was going to help you and going to do it for you. And that's just a little blip in all that lies ahead in the future for you. Now, so having said that, here's the prisoners that have been dispersed, taken prisoner, and now they are to be encouraged. In the days of Zechariah, even those a few of them, verse 12, turn you, prisoners, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of what? Hope. See, they're caught. You got it. What are you trying to say to them? I'm trying to tell them that they said there's no hope. And I'm trying to tell them in Zechariah's day that I'm going to go and do a wonderful thing, which I am doing with Zechariah. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it in the future. And they ought to be encouraged. And they ought to be prisoners. They are. They're free. Be prisoners. You're loose. I set you free. You ought to be prisoners of hope. You ought to grab hold and understand you are captured by God for His wonderful plan for your life. And the word that sums that up in easy words, hope, H-O-P-E, prisoners of hope. Now, and you'll notice, turn to the stronghold. Now, I'm going to go one place, over to Nehemiah. Nehemiah. And in chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 1. And the stronghold. Now, what stronghold? Jerusalem? Oh, that's good. But no, more than that. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in Him. God, turn to the stronghold. Turn back, you prisoners of hope. Turn to God. Turn to God. Turn to God. Remember David. David, do you understand that? Psalm 18. The Lord is my strength, my shield, my everything. A person, a wonderful person. God, where are we going to find this hope? In you. So therefore, God, here we are looking, and we went through, and understand, you're trying to say that in history to the Jewish people that would listen from the Valley of Achor, that there's hope. No matter what, there's always hope. Now, slide over, if you would, to Romans. And in chapter 15. Romans in chapter 15. The door of hope, prisoners of hope. Wow. The stronghold. God, you're the stronghold. The place of judgment, that's you. You took that judgment in your own body on the tree. Now, in the light of that, prisoners of hope, be exercised. So God, that all of that's good. Now I need to lock it in to understand what we just did, and a thousand other things. Romans chapter 15, going, if I may, to verse 14. No, Romans 15, verse 4. 15, verse 4. And whatsoever things were written aforetime, for our learning, teaching, instruction, that we through patience, bearing up under the load, and comfort, encouragement, of what? Of the Scriptures. Now, what did we just read? We just read the Scriptures. The Scriptures, we read them. Why did we read them? Because that you might have learned something from Zechariah and Joel and Ezekiel. Learn something, how God works. Ye prisoners of hope. Do you understand? How are we going to understand this hope? Well, that's why I have the Scriptures. So you can read them and understand how it works. Wow. And, verse 5, Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And one other place while we're here, because we can't get back. Verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That, what for? In order that you may abound in power. Abound in hope. H-O-P-E. I want you to be superabundant, full of hope, full of hope. It's the way. It's the way. Now, I'm going to pick it up. Believing, and that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God, the Spirit of God, is going to exercise our little hearts and to be fully motivated, encouraged, and moved, expecting, anticipating that which lies ahead. That's what we're going to do. Now, in order to say, and the scriptures are written for that. So, in order to do that, at least a little, over, if you would, to Psalm 42. All kinds of places, I only can do a couple. Because I'm going to read them, because I'm supposed to read them. I'm supposed to read them. For encouragement. That's what I'm going to do. So God, you told me that. So here they are, a whole pile of them. And Psalm 42, may I go directly to verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? Remember verse 1, as the hart, the little deer, panteth after the water brooks. So my heart panteth after my soul panteth after thee, O God. Back to Job 8, the plant needs water, and you, in order to proceed forward, have to, you can't forget God and leave God out. So verse 5, chapter 42, Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, agitated with your mind, divided up all over the place? What are we supposed to do? Hope thou in God? Why? For I will yet praise him for the help, his help, his healing, his wonderful rescuing me of his. I'm going to look to God, and if I look to God, I'm going to find he's snarling. No! We've done that how many times? God is smiling. He's happy. Even when he judges. And when you look to him as you're supposed to, then he's there. And God, where am I going to get encouragement? I can look on the television, I'll read the book, I'll read this, do that, talk to people, sit and lay in bed and think about it, whatever. No, I'm going to look to you, God. Where am I going to find someone that understands what's going on? Well, you do. You do. So God, and when I look at you, you aren't disturbed about ISIS, about all kinds of stuff going on in our country and all over the world. It isn't a problem for you. And I don't want to be a problem for you. And God said, good. And we find his wonderful delight. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? There it is again, agitated within me. Hope thou in God. Why? For I will yet praise him who is the health. Remember in verse 5 we had the word help. In verse 11 we have the word health. Now we're going to go and we have the word countenance. His face, countenance, verse 5. And now we're going to go to verse 11, and the psalmist says, my countenance in my God. What happened? I looked to God, and he was delighted to be who he is and doing what he's doing, and I looked to him looking, anticipating, and I found hope. And when I found hope, I found it in him. And when I found it in him, 42 verse 11, I found it in me. I found it in me. His face made my face light up. Wow. And you've had that. We use the illustration all kinds of times. Just think of a doctor and all of that. You're going to have some kind of thing. And you do it, and the doctor comes in, and the doctor comes in with his gloves on and everything, and he looks down at you, wow. He looks down and he growls. That isn't happy, good news. That isn't good news. And he's sweating and growling. That's not good news, no. But he looks down and smiles. Have a good sleep. See? And you relax, because he does. Don't you? God, I need to look to you. And when I look to you, not to the system, not to myself, not to anybody, anywhere, in any way, shape, or form, I'm going to look to you. My hope is in you, God. That's right. Now, all kinds of ways, and we can't even do them. Wow. Psalm 130. What are you going to say in the days of Hezekiah? Psalm 130, picking up, please, directly in verse 8. Verse 5. 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, in his word do I hope. I'm hoping, God. And verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. God, the only way, and that's what Hosea is about, I'm taking away mercy, but I'm going to restore it. I'm going to restore mercy. Now, over if you would please, back over in the light of the Old Testament into the New, Romans chapter 5. And you would know wonderfully, Romans in chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, God, the scriptures, I'm going to read them and let it sink into my little head and heart. Romans chapter 5, picking up, please, if I can, let me go to Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Here's our example of Abraham, who against hope, 4:18 Romans, who against hope, against it, believed in hope. There's no hope, you're 100 years old, there's no way for you to have the promise of Isaac, the child, it's beyond, it's out of the question, there's no hope. But when there's no hope, what did you do, Abraham? I had hope. You shouldn't have hope, but I had hope. And that's what you're looking for, God, isn't it? You're looking for that by faith. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So, Abraham, your encouragement. And so when there's no hope, but there is hope. A hypocrite's hope is like a spider web. But no, we aren't going to have that kind of hope. Our hope is in God. God, you got the whole ball of wax. Chapter 5, Romans, if I may, in verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So what are you telling? Well, here we are looking to you. We're waiting for your soon return. And in the process, we're justified in waiting. And we're hoping, we're rejoicing in the hope of your wonderful glory and honor. Verse 3. Not only so are we doing that, but we glory in tribulations, trials, tests, troubles, pressures. Also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load, and patience bearing up under the load produces experience, putting to the proof so that you learn something and you get educated. Experience, verse 4, and experience produces what? Hope. You have to go through it. And what do you find out? I found out it works. I tried it. I went all the way through. 100 years old, I'm going to believe anyway. I'm going to believe anyway, God, and you were pleased. Psalm 42, my face is delighted because you are. Wow. And thus. So here's hope. Hope is going to come. And what's hope going to do? Verse 5, it's going to make not ashamed We aren't ashamed to be a believer, looking to you, God, waiting upon you. Because, why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so, God, we have a wonderful hope. And what's the hope going to tell us? Well, God, you love us. You love us. You love us. I do. I do. Don't love the world like 6 o'clock, because then you'll lose the love of God for experientially. So we don't want to do that. So God, here we are looking, and God, we're full of expectancy, full of looking to you in a most wonderful way, and God, we're looking. Now, in the light of that, over if you would please to 1 John. 1 John. All kinds of ways. First John, remember the scriptures are there. Do we need hope? And God, you try to help Israel with the valley of Achor, the valley of hope. And here's 1 John chapter 3, as you would know. And verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons, the children of God. Wherefore, therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know what? That when he shall appear, when he appears, we are going to be like him. We're going to be changed, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 52. We're going to be changed in what? In the twinkling of an eye. So when they're there and we're here, we're going to come together. And they are going to be resurrected bodies. We're going to have resurrected bodies. And we're all going to look and have a body like unto his. We're all going to have it at once. Wow. And that's our hope. Our hope. And we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, we're going to be able to identify in a wonderful way with him. And then, verse 3, every man, woman, boy, or girl that hath this hope, hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he is present tense pure. And when we're looking, God, what does hope do for us? It delivers us from the power and presence of sin. Where sin is there, no question, but it isn't going to contain us and control us. We're looking what? We're looking expectantly. Anticipating, motivated, moved into tomorrow. Our heart is full of hope. And our object of hope is you, God. So as we're going forward, we are encouraged, God. And when we're looking to you, then we enjoy all the sin being covered as we walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And we enjoy the light. We enjoy what? Pure. Pure as you are. Do you enjoy that? Here's a lousy, sinful life. And God, as I rightly look to you with hope, I enjoy the freedom from that terrible bondage. I'm looking to you, God. Wow. And therefore, our heart, Psalm 42, etc., we're looking, God, you're going to encourage us. Why art thou disquieted, O my soul? Hope thou in God. He will change, you'll see his expression, and he'll change yours. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, over to 1 Peter, right next door. 1 Peter, and in chapter 3, as you would guess, 1 Peter 3, verse 14. And if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, nor be troubled. In other words, do the right thing in the right way, looking to God and being fully encouraged to keep going on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And when you do so, looking, and here's all the pressures of the world brought upon you, but sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your heart, That's what God, I'm going to make sure I understand. You are like David. David will say, the Lord, my strength, my shield, my buckler, my hope, my joy. God, we're looking to you. We're looking to you. Our hope is in you, God, in our hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a very technical question, a very technical question about where did Cain and Abel get their wife, etc. What about Ezekiel 95? See. No. No, don't waste your time. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the what? Hope that is where? In you. Is that hard? To be motivated, moved, because we're driven by hope, abundant, overflowing hope. God, you're the God of hope, and you're trying to get me to overflow with that hope so that I go down and get out of bed tomorrow and tackle everything again, no matter how terrible it was today, no matter how much I failed today to get up and go. Hope to go on to the next moment, to the next step. God, you, there's no calendar at all. You said it. God, we're looking at your whole book. We're looking at you, and God, we're going to go forward. Uh-huh. And to be able to give an answer of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And in closing, you know, without turning there. No turn there. Colossians. And see if it doesn't sit. Colossians chapter 1. The answer of the hope that is where in you. Okay, you got that? The hope. I got to find hope. Are you trying to find hope? You're trying to find hope. I bet you're trying to find some hope. Trying to find hope. Well, where am I going to find it? Colossians, go would you tell me. What is this marvelous mystery right now that's taking place? God, the God of hope, is causing us to have abundant of hope. And verse 27, to whom God would make known, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it when the people ask the reason for the hope that is within you? They don't ask about, that's what they're looking for. What do they need? They don't need a hypocrite's hope. They need real hope. And they don't have any in this life. They don't have any in our country. They don't have any in the world. They don't have any in the military. They don't have any in the educational system. You don't have any in the social system. You don't have any anywhere. Where am I going to get it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where? Christ in you. He is the hope. I got it. He's the hope. Christ, when do I lose hope? In what moment tomorrow will I use hope? Only if I forget. Job chapter 8. Only if I forget you. I don't want to forget you, God. And when I think of you, I have hope. I have help. I'm not dispirited, dispersed in my mind and heart. I hope thou in you. And yeah, you are. So I'm going to give a reason to people. What is the reason to the hope that is with you? Because I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And He guarantees me each moment all the way to His wonderful person and presence. And I hope in that. He's my hope. So if you don't like my hope, you'll have to tell God if you don't like it, because my God has given it to me. And you'll have to tell God to take it away. Because it is my hope, and it is His in His wonderful Son, Christ Jesus. And when I look to Him, I'm going to be wonderfully, wonderfully alive. When I leave Him out, I don't have a lot of life. I have a lot of argument, a lot of coming and goings, and all kinds of things. But with you, God, boy, no matter how bad it is in work, school, home, the next day, God, we keep going. Because every day is going to come to pass until we're waiting for you. Even so, O God, what did you tell us? Titus 2:13. You're waiting for the blessed, what? Hope of my coming. What's blessed? I'm coming. I'm here. I'm coming for you there. So that here, you're going to be with me there. Blessed hope. That's what you're going to do. Wow, I got to quit. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. Wow. We'll pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, thy work. God, we want to understand more and more. We want to be a sponge, to be satiated, saturated, to take it all in, God, and allow our little heart to be nourished, to blossom, to be blessed, and overcome the world system that dominates. And our God, we're looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts in every way, shape, and form, homes, health, wealth, problems. God, we got all the things that lie ahead, but God, in all the things that lie ahead, we have a wonderful, wonderful hope that gives us a wonderful, wonderful help so that we aren't hopeless. We're full of helpfulness, full of comfort, full of encouragement, because you are our hope. Thank you very, very much. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for your personal presence. God, Spirit of God, you've got to put all this to work or we're going to lose it, go right out the window, and we'll forget the whole thing. God, you've got to help us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing a stanza, please. 204. 204.